Thank you for tuning in this episode of the How We Interview podcast. I had the opportunity to speak with Cheryl Marimount. Cheryl is a fractional HR executive. She's got amazing energy. It's like I told her in the episode, she's got impeccable vibes and really, really cool background. If you're at all interested in what fractional work looks like, or if you're an employer and you're growing, but you can't grow at the rate in which you want to, but you need the expertise of somebody, maybe it's 20, 30, 50%, fractional work may be the thing for you. I think you're going to find some value in this episode. I sure did, and I think Cheryl's amazing. So please, thank you for listening and enjoy. Thank you for joining this episode of the How We Interview podcast. I have Cheryl Marimount with us today. She's a fractional HR executive, has an amazing background and story, and a wonderful vibe, which you all will see as we get to talking here. Cheryl, thank you for joining.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for having me, Aaron. I'm so happy to be here.
This is awesome. I tend to do these on Fridays, A, because I'm just in a much better mood, but B, I do also feel that it's just a great way to kind of bookend a week. So I do appreciate you taking the time to talk with us.
Oh my God, my pleasure.
Your background's super fascinating, and I'd love for you to share with the listeners, like, can you talk about your background and how, this is rare, because you talk to people and they're like, oh, I didn't mean to get in recruiting or kind of have it. But in your case, that's kind of a family business. I'd love for you to go into that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. It is definitely a family business. So my dad was a recruiter. He started out as a contract recruiter. Or maybe he was in-house, something. I mean, this is back in the day. Okay, I'm not going to date him or me in this podcast, but this is a long time ago, right? And so he had a recruiting business. And as a kid, me and my brother, my dad would like teach us how to quote unquote close candidates. So we learned about recruiting just in our daily lives. And so then when it came to later in life, I think my dad was more like, okay, you guys need to do something, like go get a job, you know? And so I started my first job, I think, was this will probably date me, but it was kind of an interesting thing to see where it was now or where it is now versus where it was then. My first job was scanning and editing resumes into a machine, because at that time, the technology, you couldn't scan something without it needing to be edited. So you'd submit like hard copy resumes or even resumes via email, but we'd download them and then we'd have to scan them into, I think it was called a Resumex system. And we would, it was old school. And wow. So I edit and look through each resume, make sure that it was, exactly the way it should be. And that was my very first kind of foray into the world of staffing, right, if you will. So that's how I kind of got into it. But then, of course, my brother kind of followed suit. So he's also a recruiter. I think he's in a sales gig now, but he was, but has been a recruiter for most of his career as well. My aunt is a recruiter. And then my dad, as he grew his organization and business, he I would say kind of, instead of being just a sole contract, then he developed an agency and also with my stepmom. So my stepmom and my dad had an agency. So everybody's recruiting in our in our world. And certainly that makes for great Thanksgivings. And anytime we're together, we're talking about people stuff.
I was just going to say, that must make family events like super fascinating, right? I mean, it's kind of hard not to talk about work when you all do the same thing.
Oh, yes. And it's definitely, it's always a thing. Even as I speak to, other people, or I always go to my dad. I will always be like, okay, dad, what do you think? Because his breadth and depth of experience is just massive. And so I always go to him too, but now it's fun though, because now he'll be like, okay, Cheryl, what do you think? And I'm like, the tables have turned. This is scary.
it's, I mean, there's probably a Star Wars reference there, the Jedi and the, the apprentice. It all kind of comes full circle. I love that. I love that. It's fascinating. Like, cause so on one hand, recruiting is kind of in your bones, right? It just is. We didn't talk about this, but here I go off script. You mentioned kind of the sales recruiting link. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. So you're a fractional HR executive. I'd love for you to talk about how you got into that. But then I'd love for you to get into like, because I was talking to one of our vendors the other day, and I'm actually talking to him later today, and he was like, you know, what you and I do isn't very different. And I'm like, clutching my pearls. No, it's not. It's totally different. But you talk about things like closing. That's a very sales-driven term. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Oh my gosh. Well, I think it's very similar. And I also think on that topic, I think that creating like pipelines, these are terms that we use probably more internally, when we talk about recruiting and pipelining and these types of things. But I think it's very similar to what we would call demand generation in marketing as well. And so I think that talent acquisition, marketing, and sales, they all have similar models. It's just with different outcomes, or we focus on people, and they focus on product.
So it's safe to say the recruiting's kind of like, if it's a Venn diagram, it's where sales and marketing meet. Is that fair?
I mean, yeah, I think there's a lot of it, but also the salespeople and the marketing people might kill me, but with so much heart, right? Because it's all about people in our world. And so it is a different vibe because it isn't so hardcore like a product. It's not product, right? It's very much people. And there are people emotions and people things that kind of come into play with what we do. So if I were to say, there's a level of like, I mean, there's a lot of complexity. Not that there isn't in sales and marketing, that definitely there is. There's tons of it. I think in every element of business there is. But with ours, there's so much with people that we can do and we can talk to and all of that. So that probably I'll go down another,
I
path.
would think if like if you're like, well, I'm not a people person, like you probably shouldn't be in recruiting. It's just not
No.
gonna be the job for you.
No, maybe like ops or back end stuff. I mean, I can find a place for anyone. So I'm like, oh, where could they go? Where could they go? Right. But yeah, if from a front facing, probably not recruiting because obviously so much of what we do is interaction with people.
I love that. I love that. So I'd love you to get into your journey. So recruiting backgrounds in your bones. You've worked in-house, you've consulted, you're doing fractional now. For those folks that don't like, what does fractional HR even look like? I'd love if you could talk about that.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so I'll start with my little journey. So after resumes or putting resumes into a system, I then kind of moved into a coordination role. So really my journey started at, I would say, the very like entry point of what is staffing or what is recruiting at that time. And then I was went to into coordination, then I went into sourcing, then I went into recruiting, and then I and that's kind of where everything shifts for me. I did every type of role within that organization, whether it been managing people or managing process, all of those things. But as I got to kind of that manager and also recruiting crux, I really started to want to learn more about HR. Because I thought, okay, and actually my dad might kill me, but he would always be like, oh, HR is a bureaucracy. What do you want to deal with them? Because he's coming from an agency mindset, and I'm like, wait a minute, I would like to really understand HR and why my dad feels this way. Because of course, I go to him for everything, right? So like, okay, why does he feel this way? And then I had some really great leaders, both actually at this company called Trend Micro that I worked with for many years. And I had two wonderful leaders there that really helped to show me kind of, I would say, just really great leaders, mentors, but show me the way in terms of what does HR look like? It's not just, bring people in the door. And then it was like, oh, what do we do after people are in the door, right? And so then that's when I fell truly in love with like business partnering and experience and really diving into business in general. Because for me it was very much talent focused and just very like one-sided. And then And this whole new world opened up to then the HR side. So I got an opportunity to partner with business, really learn more about things like engineering and R&D and all these like really cool areas where I felt I, although I knew what it meant to recruit for those roles, I didn't know what it meant to be successful in those roles. And that's what HR taught me. And then how do you then partner with executives? And then how do you kind of like, you just kind of go through these different elements. And then I ended up really, you know, running a whole show of people.org and really understanding what that meant from a very high leadership perspective. And it was a wonderful journey. I had a lot of help along the way and a lot of failure along the way too, because I'm thinking about it. And then once I kind of got to this, you know, place of where did I want to be, then I said, okay, well, now I'm going to go out on my own. And I guess I talk about this as both an accomplishment and a failure, but because it truly was to me. But and so I created my own little agency. It was a boutique firm. It was a talent acquisition firm, because I thought that was really my strong suit, even though I had gone through this, you know, wonderful path. But then I really focused on talent. And also, let's be honest here, there's a lot of cash in talent. So,
I mean, you're not wrong. You're not right. I mean, depending on where you're at, you're definitely not wrong.
Right. And of course, my background is technology, right? So tech and talent. And at that time that I opened the agency, certainly. And I forgot to mention, I kind of grew up in large enterprise, and then I kind of went into more medium-sized business, and then I ended up in startups. And I really fell in love with startups too, because I thought, oh, okay, I can like really sink my teeth and I can really learn a lot and again, learn more about business. And so I started Cherry Top Talent, which is my first agency. Yes, because of my cherry top, for sure. and it was a lot of fun. And it attracted a company's interest in me and kind of bringing my organization on site to really help them grow. And that was a very awesome experience for me. I learned a lot from that, but I let go of what I built in order to do that, because I thought, okay, this is a once in a lifetime thing. That's how I looked at it. Now, again, I learned a lot of lessons from doing this, because I did give up my forward movement in terms of my own thing in order to kind of come in and help this one company really grow and scale. I did that successfully. So I'm super happy about that, because it was a huge accomplishment in my career. And it also, I have to say, brought me some of the most awesome relationships that I have today with amazing leaders, and also amazing, a lot of amazing women too. So it was really wonderful to get that opportunity to do it, but I also sacrificed a piece of my heart and in doing so. So again, lots of lessons learned there. And then I decided, okay, and from there, I really work a lot, I think, based on referrals. And so people will say, oh, okay, Cheryl, hey, why don't you check out this project over here? And I was like, okay, so I ended up, doing a 2-year consulting gig, and that was really awesome. And then I from there, I took another kind of head of people opportunity, and that was exciting and fun. It was in the AI space, very cool. But after doing that for a couple of years, I really realized, you know, I want to do my own thing again. That's who I kind of am. Like, I feel like I am kind of an entrepreneurial spirit, and I like doing things my way too. Certainly, obviously, as it fits into the greater business, for sure. But I do very much want to, I think at this point in my career, control kind of my own outcome and my own destiny. And doing that for just one company seems a little narrow for me. So I would much rather expand and have some more fun and do it for multiple organizations and really help them. So when you ask me about like, what is fractional, that's what fractional is to me. It's being able to help multiple organizations, whether they want to grow on the talent side, whether they have some people challenges, whether they need to create value systems for themselves. What, you know, it depends on what stage they're in, right? Like, where I can help them. But But that's what fractional is to me, just being able to have more variety in what I do instead of just focus on one organization. Now that cuts me a little thin, right? So depending on how many hours I can put into a company. But I think also a cool thing about fractionals is that we all, I think, have mastered some craft here. So we've gotten to the point of where we're like, well, maybe not complete mastery, right? Because who's ever a complete, you know, master at everything? But I do think, you know, we come in with with all of our experience, and we're like, okay, here's how we can help. And I think, that is a great place to be, and to help these organizations. But yeah, I have to think about how much time can I put in, but also, I've prepared for this for a really long time, right? So I can look at the situation and have ideas based on each person or each company's, the situation. Because each company, no matter what, you can have boilerplates, you can do all these things, or you can try to get everything, as cookie cutter, I suppose, as you want. But at the end of the day, each business is going to be different. Each business runs differently. Each person is different that's running the organization. All the people are different and have different challenges ahead of them, even though maybe the goals are the same. Like, you'll have the same structures, but it won't necessarily be the same people running it. So you'll find many differences in the way you have to approach things. And I also really dig that. I really love being able to have so much kind of unknown with the known that I have. So I can then, kind of figure out a custom solution for whatever challenges are at hand.
Yeah, it's not like you're bordering on kind of packaging your thoughts for every single engagement you have. I mean, everything is super unique. I think about listening to this, because there's a lot of people in the line of work right now that are between jobs. And I think it gets to be a lot of confusion between consulting and fractional work.
Yeah. We have balloons.
We have balloons. I every once in a while, because I talk with my hands, I give a hand signal. And I'll tell you, at some point, if clowns show up, I'm just going to shut this down. I digress. So let's talk a little bit about that, because there's a lot of people now that are consulting either by choice or because they have to. And I really think in some of those cases, fractional work might make a lot more sense for them. So I'd like to talk from the person perspective.
So consulting, yeah, the way I kind of look at it is, it is, because you have to think of it from either your individual self or building a company that is going to consult with multiple consultants that support multiple organizations, right? And so if you're just going out and consulting on your own, it's usually like one or two clients. It can be the same with fractional work, because depending on how many hours an organization needs from you, right? So consulting, I would say also that one of the biggest differences is, I think consulting is a lot of strategy. Some consultants will totally execute, but that is the main difference between the fractional executive and the consulting executive. The consultant will come in and say, okay, this is what you need to do, go hire a team. The fractional is the hands also and the strategy. So we kind of do it all, and then we drive it. Now, in some cases, consulting does that too. So there's, I would say, some blurred lines in there. But at the same time, it really depends on the client, depends on what you have defined for yourself as an individual, what you really want to do. And I think that's great. You know, when you have the focus that you want to do, whether you want to be fractional or you want to be consulting, just doing, kind of strategy. But that's how I define the difference.
Okay. You said that beautifully, Cheryl. Like, I I'm not smart enough to wrap my head around it, saying it as eloquently as you did, but I think that's a very, very key differentiator. So if I'm a company, let's say I'm a startup.
Yep.
Let's say my burn rate's too low and I'm getting pressure to grow. And to do so, you need people power.
Yeah.
But I don't think I can afford 100% of a CHRO.
Right.
Like, when is it like an appropriate time or appropriate environment for a company to consider bringing in maybe somebody very senior, right? Like somebody in the executive team in a fractional manner versus a full-time FTE.
Yeah. Well, I look at that also as, okay, yes, I think when you're in that, what a great problem to have. Let's just say your work rate's low.
You're not spending enough money. I need you to ramp it up, right?
Right. So if we ramp it up. 1%
of the startups are doing that currently.
Right. So I think it's also a very, very good point. I'm glad that you so beautifully brought this up, because the fractional is not full time, right? The fractional is going to come in for a very specific amount of time that we determine together. Like, we'll say, if I look at the company and I say, okay, you need to do this, 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 and this by X, Y, and Z here, this is going to be the plan. This is how we're going to do it. And this is how we're going to execute it. And then what I would also do in this case is I would likely hire someone to come in, maybe somebody a little bit more junior, but who can rock this thing out, right? But somebody maybe not, because a startup may not need like a true VP of people right now, right? They might need a really like a director level or even just a senior individual contributor. And so we can hire for that. That's not necessarily what us fractionals do. We come in and kind of own, drive, and run the whole thing for a very specific amount of time. Now, those engagements can last longer depending and sometimes, I know fractionals sometimes go in and they'll take on like a full-time client, it just depends on the relationships that you have. But like I said, I did that once and I don't want to do that again.
Well, and so you're driving right to what I'm getting at. Like, is it possible as a fractional leader to do your job too well and either, you know, get yourself overextended or have somebody so engaged with the work that you do that they just don't want to let you go? Which I obviously mean, happen.
Money talks.
We are not for profits, 100%.
Right. So I think it would have to be an interesting offer to consider. But what a wonderful relationship that had been built, right? So I think, and ultimately, should that happen, it would be up to the fractional to decide what they would want to do, depending on where they are in their own journey and where they really want to be and grow. Do they want to focus on their business and expanding their business, or do they really want to, go all in with an organization? And so I think that, to each their own, to each person, it's going to be different. But absolutely, is it possible? Yes, it's a great problem. Like I said, it's wonderful to have built such a strong relationship and to have had that much success when you are growing or helping an organization grow or helping an organization, do any of their people things that they want to do.
Yeah. And you mentioned your background in tech. Tech is interesting, right? Because nothing's forever in tech.
Oh, no.
So I think what you do actually plays really well in that space, right?
I think so. It's really great. Although I have to say, I've been kind of dipping my toe in other industries as well, because I do tend to like to learn new things. And I've been fortunate enough to be able to kind of dive into a little bit of healthcare, not necessarily healthcare tech either. Normally, that would be where I go, right? Like, okay. Yeah. But in this case, I was really got an opportunity to learn how a therapy clinic works, and the differences between healthcare and tech. And there are many differences. And so that was a wonderful experience for me to be able to kind of check out something, new and get more experience. So now I can help other smaller businesses and not just tech startups. So I've got, a little bit more experience, and I do love it. I love doing kind of, if you're doing something cool, I'm really into it and I would love to help.
Yeah, 100%. And I think too, I think to do what we do for a living, you have to have a high level of curiosity, right?
Yeah.
And I think the diversity of clients to the diversity of industries would be really interesting. Like, what are you doing on Tuesday? I'm working in healthcare. What are you doing on Wednesday? Oh, I'm back in tech on Wednesday. But I'm thinking about bringing on a client in this other area because I'm just curious about it, right? I've spent 20 some odd years in financial services, and while banking is riveting, I've worked in a few different industries since, and it's like I feel like my brain's opened up a whole other chamber I never had access to. Not that I wasn't thinking before, but it just forces you to think differently in different industries because they have completely different needs, completely different ways of doing business. And I think that's fascinating.
Yeah, different rules too, like totally different. Like, and because I'm very used to, let's say, I don't know, I think I'm really good at bending a lot to get what we need, understanding that business need, and then really driving, okay, we have policies and things that, you know, keep us in play. But I think maybe that makes me okay at what I do. I'm really kind of moving that needle. But with healthcare, it's a little bit different. The rules are very stringent. And so you really have to, you know, make sure, not to say that I'm not compliant or anything. Okay. Like just saying, like, I very much understand compliance and making sure everything rocks. But I also very much understand the needs of the business. And I really dig that too. And really making those, everything kind of work together is really fun for me.
Yeah. There's one of my prior employers, one of their mottos was, don't let perfection get in the way of execution. And I'm like, God, I didn't love the place, but I really did love that. I think it's really, 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 really good. So I think one of the things that's so fascinating about you and your background and your current state, and you're like, oh, really? Tell me what's fascinating, Aaron, is you get to define like your values and your mission, and you get to sprinkle that dust in all the different places you touch. And so you can look back, I'd imagine, and look at all the work you've done and all the foundational programs and just foundations that you have created for these places. And you get to move on and do that somewhere else. I mean, how do you kind of decide what part of your values and mission that you impart on the places that you're at? And then how does that kind of play itself out in your intake process and who you're going to work with?
Yeah, I think that's so wonderful that you're bringing this up because initially I didn't even think about it for myself, right? I'm so focused sometimes on other organizations and helping another organization. And I definitely will say I give it my heart and my all and all of those things. But it took me a minute and more recently, you know, in my own journey to say, oh my gosh, what are your values? Even though it's so easy because I've done it so many times and it's like I'm thinking about it from others' perspective and what their needs are. But then to try and think about, oh my gosh, wait a minute, what are mine? Like, what do I do? So I'm really glad you brought that up because I didn't necessarily think about me. I thought about others and making sure others, but as being a part of a company that should, I mean, it definitely has my flair or my personality. There'll be parts of that in all my programs and all the things that I'll like create. But to me, it everybody's voice must be involved in developing all of this. So I love taking the time to learn about what are everybody else's values. And I've just recently only really kind of honed in on what are mine. In order to drive that forward even better, I hope. Because I think if I obviously, it's the same thing I tell companies. It's so funny to me. Like, it's like, oh yeah, okay. Be true to yourself. And I'm like, oh my gosh, be true to myself. Like, who am I, right? So, and I think, you know, as I get older, there are many things that I learn along the way. And this was just something that I thought, oh my gosh, like, how did I not do this before? How did the piece of me maybe get overshadowed, even though my personality is there, but not necessarily my own values. So now I get to say, okay, I've got my values, at least as they are defined right this moment, you know, because values change over time too. And that's totally cool too.
100%. And in certain environments, they may play themselves out differently, which is like, like values aren't super concrete. Like they kind of morph and change, and you're right, we're all evolving. So like things I held dear 10 years ago, I'm like, I don't even care about that anymore. And then I moved on to something else, right?
Oh my gosh, yes. Yes, definitely. Oh my gosh, yes. Lots of growth for me.
It's a fine line between, I suppose, maybe not, between like being open to evolution and being wishy-washy. I don't know where the line is. And I'm probably sure I'm in the latter far too often. But I think I worked at, we talked about this in our pre-call. I worked in the fractional space for literally a minute. And, and one of the things I found that was fascinating is like, if you're pitching your work or an employer is trying to bring somebody on fractionally, they're typically only care about the what you're going to do, right? But where I think value could be added from like a fractional resource is the how.
Yeah.
And that's where I think your values and your mission play themselves out. And I do, I mean, I'm curious, I'm getting to a question here eventually. It's just longer drawn out. Like when you're working with people and they're obviously, they know what the how, they know what they're getting into, they know what this wants, what this looks like, you know, in the terms of the box at your engagement, do they ever get into the how? Do they want to talk about like the nuance behind how you're going to do it? Or how you're going to impact company culture, or what the end result's going to be after you've left?
After I've left, I mean, yes, we definitely talk about it. But I will say this, I also continuously stay in contact no matter what, so that I can find out. And I also offer like, hey, call me, you know, just call me if we have questions as things continue, you know, because you may hit a bump in the road after, you know, after someone leaves, or there may be because, you know, you're not there. Right. And you have someone else kind of taking over and moving things along for you. Right. In the same manner that you would want them, but also in the same manner that is, you know, aligned to the company. Right. And so I don't know. I think that I'm trying to think what would it be after I left? But typically I do stay engaged. Like, I mean, I to me, everything's about relationship building. In my professional life anyway.
Oh God. I'm just going to leave that right there.
Yeah, we'll leave that there.
I think people do things in their professional life that they would never do in their personal life for whatever reason.
True. Yeah.
I do it as well. Like I'm a completely different human once I'm logged in and in my personal life, I'm like, nah, we're not doing that.
Right. Yeah.
What you do for a living? Nope. We're not doing that. It's fascinating. I've worked with a lot of folks, vendors, contractors, fractional people who everything's a job. And if in this space, I feel that if you don't have that personal relationship, you know, and I know for you, it's good for business too. So that's part of it. But if you don't care, hashtag care, if you don't care, I you probably, when we talked about this in the pre-call, probably should find another line of work, right? Like, because you're vested. You're not only vested for the contracted period of time, but you're vested for the long term to make sure that, you know, what it is you intended and built is actually growing and playing itself out longer term.
Yes. And I think, oh my gosh, care. It's just, that was a value at one of my companies that I supported. And I just thought, you know, I love that word so much because it really, I think I care a lot. And I'm like, and I, there is sometimes, and to my own, you know, detriment, sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, like, can't we just make this work? Like, you know, it's just, there's so much, I think, love for people in general, and just making sure that, you know, we do all do a good job. So it is hard, I would say, to kind of cut off the care when you leave. You can't, or I can't. So that's why I do choose to continue the relationships, or it's harder for me. And I think maybe early in my career, I maybe didn't develop them as much as I do in my later career, only because I didn't really understand it. And then I learned, okay, how do you build relationships? How do you, you know, make this last over time? And then I learned more. But to me, it's like, I don't know, it is who I am. It's definitely like, okay, like let's work together. Let's partner. And we partner kind of forever. Like we become friends after, or that's been my experience in a lot of my experience. And that's been, like I said, I think I mentioned earlier that one of the environments in particular, I just gained so many personal and professional colleagues and friends. It was just so wonderful to come out of that with so many more people in my world. And that was cool.
I love that. I'm sitting here talking to you like, damn it, I don't want to work with Cheryl. which brings up an amazing point. I could do this with you forever, literally forever. If I'm listening to this and I'm like, hey, I'm interested in fractional work. I mean, is it okay if people reach out to you? Or B, if I'm a company and I'm like, you know, I've been holding off hiring this thing, but I really need somebody with Cheryl's background. Like, what's the best way to connect with you?
Oh my gosh, LinkedIn is great. It's probably... again, probably I'm very straightforward, but it's the only social I have. I don't really do other social stuff, although I should. But I'm very much on LinkedIn. Definitely contact me on LinkedIn. I am. I have a website. My company is called Cheryl B Consulting. For the moment, anyway, I do change my mind sometimes. but right now it's Cheryl B, because that's me for sure. So it's Cheryl B Consulting. So they can reach me that way. I mean, I'm very responsive. You could probably find me. but definitely from a professional standpoint, you'll find all my background and all my information on LinkedIn.
Awesome. I love the fact that you're such a positive voice in the space. There's not like, I know my LinkedIn feed is not necessarily representative of what's going on in the HR community, but I don't see a lot of chatter around fractional work in the HR space. And so I love what you do. I appreciate you taking the time to do this. And I'd love to do this again, if you'd be open to it.
Oh my gosh. I'd be stoked to do it again. I am just so grateful for Natalie, who connected us.
Shout out to Natalie.
Yeah, thank you, Natalie. Shout out. And just, you know, I just so appreciate your time and your interest in speaking to me. I do. It's funny, you know, I feel like if someone described my personality, I'd probably be like extrovert, right? But in my personal life, I am but much more introverted. So I don't necessarily like engage behind these like social platforms as much as I do in my regular life. So it's an interesting dynamic there. But anyway, I just want to say thank you again for the opportunity and for speaking to me and for sharing your experience with me too. So this has been really fun.
It's my pleasure. I appreciate it. Everybody, reach out to Cheryl Marimount. She is on LinkedIn. If you have any fractional HR questions, or if you're a business, just looking, you know, to see what bringing somebody on fractionally looks like. I think she is an awesome resource. Obviously has amazing energy. So I do thank you for your time. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the How We Interview podcast, brought to you by Riambi. Head to our website at howweinterview.com to find the show notes and links mentioned in this episode. While you're there, subscribe to the podcast through your favorite podcast app so you never miss an episode. Leaving us a rating and review also helps us reach more listeners interested in learning from other talent acquisition professionals.